It's a beautiful feast, the feast of divine mercy, a very rich feast with many, many elements to it, more than we can go into in one sitting. This is the octave feast of Easter, so we are celebrating the same mystery we celebrated last Sunday. The difference being, last Sunday, the resurrection came on us like a shock, like an earthquake, a sudden revolution, and it was too much to take in. If you might remember, the reaction of the women in Mark's gospel was, they ran away, frightened, and they didn't tell anybody. So that's something like the first impact of Easter is bewildering. But on the eighth day, as we return to the Easter event, we're not so much shocked as we are filled with joy. And this is reflected in John's gospel. In the other gospels, when Jesus first appears, they're bewildered. They don't recognize him. They think he's a ghost and all these other things. But in John's gospel, he comes. He says, "Peace be with you." He shows them his hands and his side, and it says, the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So the rejoicing of the disciples is the rejoicing of the church on this, the eighth day. Now, as I say, there's many elements to this. There's the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's the institution of the sacrament of reconciliation. There's the experience of Thomas, of course, the center of the focus in this gospel, of Thomas, who missed the opportunity to see the Lord and then refused to believe his own brothers, and Jesus came for him. If we were in the parish, I would focus on these things and try my best to make it clear what we're celebrating, but we're not in the parish. We're locked out of the parish and we're locked in here. So I'd like to take a different approach. This is a unique situation, so I'd like to take a unique approach to the reflections today. And I'd like to use the traditional technique of choosing three words to focus our reflections. A lot of people do this. Pope Francis is a kind of a master at this. If you think of the message that he gave to the Filipinos last Sunday, it was a very short, very simple, but quite a profound message, and it was based on three words: Nazareth, the cross, and Pentecost. Nazareth, it was so well done because he captured the whole 500-year history of the faith in the Philippines. Nazareth, he brought in the Santo Niño, he brought in family life, he brought in simplicity, poverty. Then the cross, he brought in the Black Nazarene and the place of suffering, and the experience of suffering that has purified us and has been so much part of history. And then Pentecost, the Spirit and the challenge that he gave to the Filipinos to go forth and give what has been given, gifted to give. So in a few minutes, he really captured a lot. So my idea is, if I pick out three words, maybe it won't be as good as that, but at least it will give us a focus and a bit of an order to our thoughts. So the three words for me are lockdown, water, and Joseph. Year of St. Joseph. As I said, it's unique. This is a unique situation. We've never been in a year of St. Joseph before. We've never been in a lockdown. Well, this is only the second time in our life we've been in a lockdown. So. Well, why lockdown? Well, because, yeah, everyone knows we're locked down, and who knows how long this ECQ, is there any report yet? How long this will go? No, so nobody knows, and no one can give us an answer. So here we are locked down, and the gospel begins with the disciples locked down. On the evening of the first day of the week, the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. So they're locked down, not afraid of a virus, but afraid of the Jews, afraid of the threat of violence, of being arrested, of being labeled as companions with the crucified. They're locked down. And Jesus comes right into the midst of the lockdown. I think this, well, we should have realized this by now. It's been over a year. But we should realize that the virus does not stop the Lord. And the lockdown, the quarantines, and all the hardships, none of these things stop the Lord from being in our midst. And this gospel makes it very clear. Jesus does it twice. He moves into the middle of the lockdown. Locked doors don't stop him. ECQ doesn't stop the Lord. The virus doesn't stop the Lord. Nothing stops the Lord. But we have to notice also that in the lockdown, Jesus' presence in their midst does not change the circumstances in their life. They're still under threat from the Jews. In fact, it doesn't change anything on a certain level. The two things that change are, first of all, Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive, and he's there with them. The second thing that changes is the apostles themselves. So, from above, you could say, the biggest picture, God reveals himself as alive in the midst of this lockdown. And if our hearts are open to receiving him, we're changed in the lockdown. The lockdown doesn't change, still ECQ. But Jesus is with us, Jesus alive with us, and we are not locked down from inside. It's an outside circumstance. We are free interiorly because Jesus comes and gives us peace. Jesus breathes his spirit on us. One of the principles of the spiritual life is that God works through suffering, that God uses suffering to purify us, to redirect us, to enlighten us, to stop us. God is in suffering. Yesterday we were watching this film about St. Ignatius of Loyola. He got hit with a cannonball. The cannonball ruined everything for him. And yet, because of the cannonball, he experienced conversion. He experienced profound spirituality, what we call Ignatian spirituality. He became the founder of the Jesuits. He changed the history of the world because of that cannonball. Well, every hardship is like that. Every lockdown is like that. Here, the apostles are locked down. They think that what should happen is that the threat be removed. That's what we always think when we're suffering, that what's causing our suffering should be removed. That's not what God does, and that's not how he thinks. He has something else in mind, and we have to discover what he has in mind. Here, what Jesus has in mind is the risen life, the life of faith. He's not thinking about saving them from persecution, which is what they're thinking of. But he's thinking of making known to the whole world the good news of the resurrection. Okay, so we're in lockdown, and all we can think of is this. We have to get past this. We have to be free of the virus. We have to be free of the quarantine. Well, God has something else in mind, obviously. I mean, we've been asking him for over a year, oratio imperata, every day for a year, and God has not taken away this pandemic. So he's doing something else. We have to discover what it is. We have to know that he's with us. We have to know his presence in faith, and we have to change. Even if the circumstances don't change. Okay, lockdown. Second point of reflection is water. Now, everyone knows we've been out of water. We were out of water for 5 days. Octave of Easter started. It's supposed to be a week of rejoicing, a week of abundant grace and abundant celebration. And here we are in quarantine, no celebrations, and we don't have any water Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Now we have water today. And it even looks pretty clean. Why am I bringing up the water? And not simply to point out the hardship, but because in the image of divine mercy, the rays of red and white symbolize the blood and water flowing from the heart of Jesus on the cross, which symbolize the rich flood of grace that comes to us in the sacraments, especially baptism and the Eucharist. And that comes up in today's second reading. Jesus is the one who came through water and blood. Jesus Christ, not by water alone, but by water and blood. So since the scriptures focus on water and our circumstances this week were largely about water, it seems to me we have to reflect on this. And again, it has to do with how God works through what we experience as contradiction. When we didn't have water this week, we learn how to get by with a lot less water. we can get pretty far with a very small amount of water. Now we're not as clean, and maybe our houses are not as clean, and the toilets are not as clean, but still, we can adjust to having a little bit of water, and we're very grateful for the water that we have. And when the water comes back on, we're so happy to have this thing that we, just a few days ago, we had taken completely for granted. What's happened during the lockdown is that people have been deprived of the sacraments. And they had to learn how to live, we've had to learn how to live without being able to get to Mass, without being able to go to confession, without being able to participate in communal prayers. We have to be able to survive with less. So that's some part of the lesson. But then our longing for the time when the water comes back on should be very great. We should not be taking for granted the gift of the sacraments. If the church is not longing for the grace of the sacraments, then we're wasting the pandemic. We're wasting this hardship. We should be longing for the sacraments more than we wanted the water to come back on. And grateful that for the opportunities we do have to receive the blood and water. The eighth day of Easter is a day to recall baptism. Of course, Easter Day, we renewed our baptism. But on the eighth day, in some of the traditions of the church, the newly baptized wore their white garments. That's why one of the names for this day is White Sunday. Everybody wore their white garments and celebrated again the gift of baptism. And then maybe they wore the white garments for 8 days. I can't remember the tradition. 8 days they wore the white garments, and then after the eighth day, they could wear their usual street clothes again. But the point being, we're celebrating the water. We're celebrating the grace gushing forth in abundance from the heart of Jesus. And that's where our focus should be, not on the water from Maynilad. Third one, Saint Joseph. We're in the year of Saint Joseph, and even though Joseph was not around on the eighth day after the resurrection, he wasn't around on Easter Sunday, he wasn't around on Good Friday, since we're reflecting on Joseph and we're preparing for our consecration to him, it's good to keep opening ourselves to what Joseph teaches us about faith, about risen life, about the mercy of God. And I was led back to Faustina. Faustina, of course, is the apostle of divine mercy. And I remembered that in our preparation book here for consecration to Saint Joseph, there's a passage about Faustina. This is page 63, you want to look it up. Day 26. Saint Faustina's religious community, the Sisters of Our Lady of Mercy, recite the Memorare to Saint Joseph every day. So their communal practice is this other Memorare, which I didn't know about. There's a Memorare to Saint Joseph. It's almost exactly the same words as the Memorare that we know. Saint Faustina herself had a tremendous devotion to Saint Joseph and daily asked his intercession for her vocation and mission. Now, I like to reflect on this because here's a woman, Saint Faustina, who has mystical visions of the Jesus and the Eucharist and heaven and hell and angels, and I mean the woman has received a lot of gifts. Why does she need Saint Joseph? Why does she turn to Saint Joseph every day? Why does she have tremendous devotion to him? Well, because he's part of the picture. And I think this is good for us to reflect on. We say, well, today's Divine Mercy Sunday. What do we need Saint Joseph for? We've got blood and water flowing from the heart of Jesus. What do you need Saint Joseph for? Well, he's the one who teaches us how to welcome these gifts and how to live with them, how to serve them, how to adore, how to live by faith. Then listen to this. This is from the diary of Saint Faustina, number 1203, paragraph number 1203 from the diary, the Divine Mercy book. Saint Joseph urged me to have a constant devotion to him. He himself told me to recite three prayers, not three prayers of the Our Father, the Hail Mary, and the Glory Be. Very simple, but steady, simple devotion. He told me to recite three prayers and the Memorare to Saint Joseph, the one that her community prays, once every day. He looked at me with great kindness and gave me to know how much he is supporting this work, meaning the work of promoting divine mercy. He has promised me this special help and protection. I recite the requested prayers every day and feel his special protection. So now, Joseph is not a big figure in the diary of Saint Faustina. He's only mentioned a couple of times. He's not a big figure in the whole devotion or on this day. But since this is the year of Saint Joseph, let's ask him to help us gain the benefit of this year of grace, this day of grace, this gift, which is flowing in abundance for us, but can be lost, can be wasted. So here it is, Feast of Divine Mercy. We ask Saint Joseph's intercession. We ask Saint Faustina's intercession. We ask the intercession of Saint Thomas. We make the same, we strive to make the same response of faith that they made. Jesus, I trust in you, my Lord and my God.